I think the new album Straight Ahead is more melodic and not so dark like the last one, Full Circle. Do you think the new one is different from the last ones?
A little bit different, yeah. I think it's a little more melodic and less dark. The Full Circle was a really heavy album. Jason, the bass player, had died. A lot of aggression, a lot of emotion, and we wanted to make an album that was a little more fun for the audience, sing along, you know, have a little bit of a better time, and then still keep, you know, some aggression in there. So it just, you know, turned into a little more melodic album that's a little more fun, I think.
Okay. What were the bands that impressed your music? Bands like Lagwagon or?
No.
Never.
Well, we were around like probably 5 years before Lagwagon, I think, or maybe 3 years or 4 years, I think. I don't know how long were they around, but I mean, when we first started Pennywise in about '88, there weren't a lot of punk bands, really new punk bands. Like NoFX was just coming around. I mean, they had singles and stuff, but they were just getting on Epitaph and Down by Law, and I mean, for me, the influences were Minor Threat and Black Flag and those kind of bands, because I started playing in 1980, and I was just listening to, there's this, my old band is on here, but it's whatchamacallit? It's another band playing a cover of my band in 1980. Wait. Okay. This is it. So this is what I was playing in 1980, 20 years ago. I don't think anyone in Lagwagon was alive yet. This is more like. Yeah. But you asked the question.
Yeah. Okay. What was the situation like after Jason's death? Were Pennywise about to split up, or?
Not really, for maybe like 10 minutes. You know, it was, we figured that, you know, the music's always been about staying positive and being strong and moving forward in life, and really important to, when you come to a brick wall in your life, you have to break it down and keep moving, because once you give up, then your life's over. And for him to die and for us to just split up as a band would have been really hypocritical to do that. And I think we all decided we have to carry on the message that he was, you know, bringing to the world and the, you know, the music, and we said, yeah, we're going to keep going and playing his songs in front of the audiences and all that. So, you know, it was a pretty quick decision, like we have to keep fighting, you know.
So you kept on playing for him because you thought he would like you to play again?
Definitely. I mean, you know, just because he's gone doesn't mean that the music has to stop, you know. And the message is still out there. And every night we're playing Brohem or one of his songs, you know, the crowd is, you can feel it in your heart that the crowd knows the song and is singing it for him, you know, and wherever he is. So I think it's important, you know, to keep going.
You said the message. What would you say is a common message behind your songs? Is there anything that could be figured out in a few sentences?
Sure. Living for today, every single day. Society, my own country, wouldn't it be nice? Rules made up by you. I mean, the songs are mostly about self-empowerment, you know, like telling people, hey, you know what, get off your ass and do something with your life. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a punk rocker, you can be a journalist, you can be a surfer, you can be, you know, but you're people that sit around at their job, you know, typing and say, I hate my job. What do you want to do? Well, I want to be a professional surfer. Well, then learn how to surf and fucking start surfing, you know. Oh, I can't, I have to work, you know, fuck that. You know, it's like, people get trapped in these lifestyles, and then when they're 60 years old, they look back and go, what did I do with my 60 years? I didn't do shit. I didn't have any fun, and now I'm going to die. So our message is like, you know, live fast, die young, or live fast, die old. You know, I mean, you gotta have something to keep your life, you know, good. And at the same time, as we're telling people, hey, get off your ass and you can do anything you want to do. You know, live for today. You know, live every single day like it's your last. Because if you're sitting around today, watching TV, smoking a joint, and just not doing anything, and the next day you get hit by a bus, then your last day was pretty much wasted on.
Was it the same in your youth, or yeah, like breaking out of?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I got into punk rock when I was 14 years old. I'm 33 now, so I pretty much broke free of all the, you know, like things you were supposed to do as a kid: play sports, play football and basketball, and get good grades. I said, fuck that. I don't want to do that. I want to play in a punk band. I want to surf, skateboard, take drugs, you know, drink beer. And that's what I did. And, I mean, it was a lot of crazy times in those years, you know, where I wasn't doing so good. But in the end, you know, I look back on it, I wouldn't trade that time in to be at football practice every day after school because I didn't like football. You know, I would rather go skateboarding in a backyard pool than go play football. And my parents, you know, you got to get on the basketball team. You got to join the army. You got to do this. It's like, you do that shit. I don't want to. I'm going to do this. Punk rock's ruining your life. You know, it's no future for you. Now it's like, oh, you're in Germany. I've never been there. Will you send me a postcard? Yeah, I've been here fucking 40,000 times now. You know, what were you doing with your childhood? You know, so it's kind of sad, like, you know, my own parents have never left the country. And I've been all over the world because of punk rock and got a lot of free beer, so I must have done something right.
Do you see Pennywise as a hardcore or punk rock band?
I think it's a hardcore melodic punk. I mean, what's the difference? You know, hardcore, is it a sound? You know, I mean, it's like, punk is punk, and if you have the message, a punk rock message in your music about freedom and rebellion, anarchy, you know, those types of things, and you're playing it fast, like, you know, I don't really think there has to be a separation. I mean, we're definitely not hardcore. If you want to split it, like, East Coast hardcore, like Sick of It All, we don't sound like Sick of It All. We would sound more like someone like Good Riddance, you know, like a West Coast punk band. But I think there's influences that come into our music. Every once in a while you might hear something that has a little bit of a hardcore vibe to it. But I think you listen to a band like H2O and they have some West Coast, you know, melodic punk. And I don't really like to label it, but I would just say that we're just, you know, I feel hardcore. I feel like we have a punk, you know, a punk stance in our music and we're melodic. So let's say hardcore melodic punk.
Do you think that hardcore and punk rock music must be seen as uncommercial music?
Well, I mean, pretty much punk rock, the punk rock scene, he thought I was going to hit him, is the punk rock scene is not really existent anymore. It's become so mainstream. You know, of course, I don't think it should be commercialized. At the same time, you know, when you have like Offspring and Green Day selling millions of records, like 9-10 million records, I mean, what are you going to do if Sick of It All, if somebody says, you know what, we really like the Sick of It All record, we're going to put it on the radio, because Sick of It All can't say don't play it, because they can do whatever the fuck they want. They can play it, MTV can play their videos, they don't need permission from anyone to do that. And let's say Sick of It All sells 10 million records. Are we gonna like them less? I mean, their message is still the same. As long as they're keeping their heads about them and they're not, you know, some, you know, $50 a ticket and $45 for a T-shirt, then, you know, hey, whatever. I think the main thing is how the band acts, you know, their T-shirt and ticket prices, how they treat their fans, and what the music says. And, you know, if something gets commercial, it gets commercial. I mean, we've been getting played on the radio in America on the new record a little bit. And, you know, it's like, hey, if you're playing the record, play the record. We can't stop them. We can't tell them to play. I mean, there's a lot of bands that would say, play our record because they want to be rich and famous. But the radio doesn't work like that. They only play the really want to play. And I don't think it should be commercial. I like the scene better, actually, when it's smaller and more intimate, like in the 1980s, but that's over with. So now I would like a million people to hear Pennywise and listen to the lyrics and maybe get something from it, you know, or 10 million or a billion. I would, if someone said, hey, Fletcher, you can make the same amount of money you make every year, you know, but we're going to give out 10 million records to people. Is that okay? And I'd say, yeah, give them 20 million. Because it's about people hearing the music. The more people that hear Pennywise, the smarter they get.
How many people are currently listening to Pennywise? Are there any amounts?
But I was just kidding on that last one. Because sometimes some people won't know we were kidding, huh? Yeah, I mean, we're usually selling about 400,000 records in the world every time. So, you know, maybe there's 1.2 million people listening to Pennywise.
It's hard to keep a t-shirt price and show tick prices under control, or?
Well, it's getting harder. Because, like, in America, I want to do $10 shows. And everyone's saying, oh, we have to do 12, you know. But I forget, like, you know, 10 years ago it was $10 shows. Like, the inflation's going up. But we sell our shirts for, like, 11. It depends, because, you know, you know how, like, in America, if you go to a venue and you want to sell a shirt for $10, the people that own the building, they take, like, $4 from you. They take a percentage of your money. It might be $3, it might be $4, it might be $5, and then you have nothing left because you paid $5 to make the shirt. So they try to make your prices higher. They try to make the prices $20 because then they can take 10 of it. They take 50% or 40%. Your arm's getting tired, huh? Here, I'll hold it for you. They're taking this money, so then they want you to sell it for $25, so they can have $12 and you can have $12. That's the only way you can make money. But for instance, in America, this company was saying that, and we said, fuck you. No bands on the Warped Tour sell shirts. Everybody takes all their shit down. We make flyers. We call a record store. Hey, can we sell shirts in your parking lot after the show? Yeah, no problem. Make flyers for all the kids. After the concert, all the kids come to a parking lot. We barbecue like 1,000 hamburgers. There's 2,000 kids there. All the vans are pulled up. Kids are buying t-shirts out of the back for $10. You know, so it's hard, but when you do shit like that, I mean, it was totally fun. Some bands set up and played with a generator in a parking lot in St. Louis, and the promoter was so fucking pissed at the club, you know. He didn't make any money off the t-shirts, and we just said, fuck you. We won't raise our prices. So, you know, doing something like that is real cool for the kids, and it wasn't an easy. You know, made some problems for people, but it was still fun.
That's punk rock, I think.
Yeah, that's
proper. Okay. You don't like Offspring, huh?
I like them. You know, I mean, it's. I just don't like. They're nice guys. They're friends of mine, and they've been. They've had some luck, like where they, you know, went to the major label. I don't agree with a lot of what they do, the decisions that they make, but you know, it's their choice to do that.
Who writes the Pennywise lyrics?
Jimmy writes a lot, most of the lyrics now, and Jason wrote a lot of lyrics before he died. I write, you know, 1%. Randy writes 1%. Jimmy, I mean, maybe I'll come up with an idea like fight till you die. And I'll say, fight till you die at practice. And he'll go, what's that? And I say, fight till you die. And then he writes a song called Fight Till You Die.
The song My Own Country, it seems that Pennywise will never get along with the American government. What exactly do you dislike?
Everything. No, it's not it's not that bad, but it's really bad. I mean, it's very stupid. No gun laws. People dying every day. Children. People walking into schools, killing 5-year-old children. And they're still saying, we need guns in America. It's like, yeah, we really need them a lot. They're really helping society. People dying every day. Education, really bad. Like, teachers only make $30,000, like 60,000 Deutschmarks a year. and that's somebody that's with your kid 9 months a year, 8 hours a fucking day, teaching your kid from 4 years old all the way up to, you know, 20 years old or whatever. And how can you be motivated to be a good teacher for almost shit? You can make more money delivering pizza. Literally, you can make $36,000 or $65,000 Deutschmarks fucking delivering pizza. So I think there's a big problem in education. I think that they should legalize marijuana and use the money to fight the war on hard drugs and not worry about fucking marijuana. They should fucking outlaw alcohol. Alcohol is much worse than marijuana. I mean, I drink a lot of alcohol. I know. I get in trouble when I drink. I don't get in trouble when I smoke a joint. And just, there's so many lies in the government. There's so much stuff that's, like, they tell you, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to bomb this country. Here's the reasons. The reasons are all lies. The real reasons are hidden underneath. And American government is, you know, there's no, retirement for old people is very hard. Medical is really, really hard. You have to pay for your own medical. If you don't have enough money to pay for your own medical, then you have to wait in a line for 15 hours with the, you know, blood pouring out of you to try to get some assistance. You go to a hospital and they and you say, I've been shot. They say, well, you're not going to die and you don't have insurance. You have to go somewhere else. I'm sorry. You got to leave. And they make you leave. You know, bleeding, coming out. Yeah, it's or a broken arm. I'm sorry, we can't fix it. It's fucking crazy. There's a lot of problems. I'm sure it'll never be a perfect government, but it, you know, it's there's probably no perfect governments in the world.
Okay. In the song Badge of Pride, you sing about that you want to be true to yourself. What means it for you, and how show you it?
I mean, I think it's about how, like, once again, how you conduct yourself, you know, you can change. I mean, it's real simple, I think. Take care of the fans, and the fans will take care of you, you know. I mean, they're the ones that are paying the bills. They're the ones who are putting the food on the table for me. And if you treat the fans well, with low ticket prices, low t-shirts, a good show, hang out with them, drink some beer, you know, whatever, then they're going to appreciate that, and they're going to keep coming back. And just, I think, but that song is about, you know, how you feel when you wake up in the morning. Do you feel like you've sold out? I mean, has someone come to you? I mean, we've been offered so much money to do things, like absurd amounts of money, to say, hey, will you come and do this? Like there was a tour for chewing tobacco, because they saw the Warped Tour, you know, coming, and they said, yeah, we're going to make this big tour. They saw the Warped Tour be getting popular. Skull chewing tobacco, you know, and it's going to be all over the country, and we're going to pay the bands huge money. We'll pay you guys this much money per night. And we said, fuck you. We're not going to go out there and promote some fucking tobacco product that's giving people cancer. I mean, if you want to do it and you can do it, it's fine. If you want to smoke, it's fine. But we're not going to go out for 13-year-old kids and have chewing tobacco everywhere, you know. It's like, so I think when you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, you know what, I did that just for the money, then you're not being true to yourself, you know. You're not doing what's in your heart. You're doing it, you're selling out. And when you start making decisions based on money, that's selling out. Being on the radio is not selling out. Being on MTV is not selling out, as long as you are playing the music you want to play and the making the videos you want to play. I mean, we made a video for Society. I don't know if you ever saw it.
I saw it on the Kill 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 video compilation of Epitaph.
Okay, so, you know, Epitaph sent that video to MTV, and they said, fuck this. They throw it away.
Really,
yeah, they throw it. They said, no fucking way we ever play this. We knew that. We knew they weren't going to play the video. We made it because that's how we felt about, you know, making the video.
And then just one last question for me. What are your plans for the future now? Where are you going? And is there a new record being released in a few months? Or
Actually, the new record, Straight Ahead, just came out about 2 months. It's 2 months old only. So you're going to have to wait about another year for another record. We're going to finish the European Warped Tour. We go home. We have 1 month off. Then we start playing American tour of club dates. Then we're going to go to Australia and Japan, and then we're going to come back to Europe and do club dates in Europe. So we got a busy year ready to go.
As far as I heard, you are doing fan chats on your webpage, or how was it?
Fan what?
Fan chats, or...
What is chats?
Talk with chat. People about the internet. Or
yeah, yeah, we have... Yeah, chats. Oh, chats, yeah. We have a chat room there. One time I went on the chat room, and people were talking and stuff, and I said, yeah, I'm the guitar player for Pennywise. I said, fuck you, you're not the guitar player, asshole. I said, no, I swear, I'm in the studio working on the album. Yeah, suck cock, you fucking piece of shit. Let's get out of here. And everyone's like, no, I'm really the guitar player of Pennywise. Believe me, please, ask me a question. Nah, let's leave. Then I said, here, call me at this number. I put my phone number there, and no one's called. And then some girl's like, what, are you going to talk dirty to me when I call? And I was like, finally the phone rang. She said, who is that? I said, Fletcher. She said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. So I got her into the show for a show in Las Vegas for free. And she had a good time.
Yeah. Last week we spoke with Lou from Sick of It All.
Yeah.
He said you can't change the world, but you can improve yourself. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But you can change the world. If everybody in the world listened to Pennywise or Sick of It All or Good Riddance or some bands that have a message like that, then maybe the world would be a different place. You never know. I mean, there's a lot of people that change their way of thinking when they hear bands, and there's a teenager is really influenced by music, whether it's Marilyn Manson, and then they're dyeing their fucking skin white and worshiping the devil, or this is not your interview.
Is that what he meant? Is that you can't change the world, but you can change yourself. But if everyone changed themselves for a positive change, then the world would change for the better. So you can change the world.
Are you sure that's what he thought?
That's what I thought. I think you were saying.
But you can change the world.
Exactly. If you change yourself first.
Lou said that for Sick of It All.
Lou, he's smart, very smart.
Yeah, we're smart.
I think that you can change the world.
I thought you said something good.
You can change the world. One person can change the entire world. One. If I was president, I could change the entire world. Because the first thing I would do is bomb Germany and kill everybody. Just kidding.